the like trigger effect that you're taking out the grime and see if you feel.
Hey, this is Matt from Young Turks. You're checking out The Grind with Stacey Steele.
Hey, welcome to The Grind, Volume 155 on Punk Rock Radio. Another heavy one for you this time. Now, we originally thought the show was going to be our Sled Island Festival 2013 edition, but due to massive flooding in the city of Calgary and other southern Alberta communities, the festival was canceled as the city banded together to help people from the 26 evacuated neighborhoods deal with the situation they suddenly found themselves in. Luckily, and through good organization of resources, although the city alone faces upwards of $5 billion in damage, there were only four deaths during the ordeal, one in Calgary and three in the hard-hit nearby community of High River. Even though the majority of the famous Stampede Grounds were underwater just 2 weeks before the opening, they were able to get most of it back in order to kick off the 2013 celebrations. But you did not tune in to hear my report on the Alberta flooding. While this year's Sled, aka Sludge Island Fest, didn't officially happen, many displaced gigs and bands found new locations at house shows and other makeshift venues in the four quadrants of the city. Over the phone, Stacey did end up catching up with one of the bands we were planning on talking to, and we'll be hearing her interview with Montreal's Trigger Effect in just a few short seconds. As we were planning a Sled Island show, we don't have any From the Mailbox features in this program, but we will be selecting some good submissions for our next show. We'll also have a conversation Stacey had with Chuck Reagan during his Calgary stop of the Revival Tour. Just the two interviews in today's show, and we'll be spending the last half of the program with Matt from Portland-based hardcore band Young Turks, who managed to hit Calgary before the water did. Let's kick this show off with a track from Trigger Effect's newest release out a few months back, What's Left to Eliminate. This is Till It's Dead.
This is Stacey Steele. You're checking out The Grind, and I'm in Calgary right now, and I'm speaking via telephone to Mike Nero from Trigger Effect. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, considering.
Yeah. We've had a little bit of a situation in the city. During the time of this interview, there was a massive flood in Calgary, and the entire Sled Island Festival, where all my interviews were scheduled, has been canceled, unfortunately. But it's for everybody's safety, and things are going okay, all things considered. So thank you for still speaking with us today.
My pleasure. What would you like to know?
Well, tell us a little. You guys are on tour at the moment, and tell us a little bit about the tour that you've been on so far.
Well, the album came out at the end of April, and we've basically been on the road pretty much nonstop since then. We started with some Ontario dates, then we went out east to the Maritimes, went to Newfoundland for the first time, came back, played Montreal, did 5.5 weeks in Europe, and we just came back to North America, and we kind of played in Cleveland a couple nights ago, and we were hauling ass to get to Calgary for Sled, and now that's not looking too good. And then we got another about 2.5 weeks of shows, so we're finally home in July.
Oh, that's pretty good then. I heard you guys hopped on a show last minute down in southern Alberta, is that right?
Yeah, because we got stranded here in Medicine Hat and tried to make the best of a bad situation. We just found a show in Medicine Hat at something called the Liquid Night Club. Or
the Liquid Lounge.
Night Lounge, yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully that goes well. I know there's been some activity online. People excited for a couple
people from Powdery trying to ride down here to come see us. So, definitely better than sitting around moping and complaining.
Exactly. Absolutely. Better than being stranded in an island.
Exactly. Yeah.
Quick fix.
Have a recent release out. Tell us a little bit about that.
What's Left to Illuminate is our new album. It's our third full-length, fifth release. We're incredibly proud and happy about it. It's really fun to record. We did it with Ian Burton, who's the man, and we recorded it in our hometown of Montreal, actually like in our home borough of NDG, which is something that was really awesome. We just like walked in the studio every day. As per usual, 25-minute epic of,
Do you guys still have the same jam spot out in Montreal at the moment? I think before you had Barn Burner either above you or below you, is that right?
Oh, like there's kind of like two buildings in Montreal where most bands jam in, and the building that we're in is the one where like there's Barn Burner and End Off and Dig It Up and a bunch of really great Montreal bands. Right now, we actually share the same jam space with the guys from Barn Burner. Not the same space as we used to have, but we've kind of, through a series of other unfortunate events, our room got flooded.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
you guys have the video that got released as well off the new album. Tell us a little bit how that sort of imagery and subject matter came. Did you guys think up that video idea yourself, or did the video director come up with that idea?
The whole album is kind of a concept record with a sequential storyline about this guy basically looking for answers in all the wrong places and eventually kind of finds out something that was there all along. And the video is basically like the director, David Doe, he's a good friend of ours, and we sat down with him and kind of went through the concept of the record, and we tried to find, like, what is the best way that we could translate the entire album into one song, and what's the creepiest way to do it? And that's what we came up with. So, like, the album's full of, like, imagery and, you know, the occult and weird symbolism and that kind of stuff, so we tried to put as much as possible into the video because, you know, it's hard to, you know, at, like, your first half of the album, it's just a 25-minute punch in the face. but what you'd be like. But, you know, like, Nick, our singer, did, like, an amazing job on those lyrics, and if you dig down into there, there's lots of interesting stuff.
That's really cool. So what are you guys planning on doing later on this year once your tour wraps up in July?
We're done in July. Then our singer's actually getting married, so we're going to take a couple weeks off for bachelor party and wedding and sleeping for the first time in 70 days.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get to work on writing some new music. I think we have very short attention spans. Maybe that's why, like, our songs are so short, they never repeat parts, and we write the albums that we do, but just from having played the same songs for almost like 70 days in a row now, and now we're already thinking of, like, you sound more like this, and we should do this. And then, so I know we got a bunch of ideas, and we're just, like, aching to get back into the jam space and start hammering out some new ideas.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. We usually end up releasing something every year, but it's like a record or an album or an EP or a split or something, so there'll definitely be something coming out next year from Trigger Finger.
That's really good news. I love watching you guys play live as well. If anyone out there has not seen a Trigger Effect show, I highly recommend it. Anything else that you'd like to add to the end of our interview about your new album, about the current tour?
I think the best way to experience Trigger Effect is just to come see it live. You know, we record our albums live and don't try to capture all the energy because we think that's honestly the best way to, like, depict what it is that we do. So if anyone hasn't seen us live, come to scope it out. It's going to be a very, very good time had by you and us.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to rip. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem.
Unnoticed. And the song before that one in the interview was the one they have that cool video for, That Vital Force. On now to some Young Turks from their debut release, Where I Lie, Knife Club.
Left with me.
Hey, this is Stacey Steele. You're checking out The Grind, and I'm in Calgary hanging out with Matt from Young Turks. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Stacey?
I'm doing very well. You come out of Portland, Oregon, and you've been doing a little bit of a tour. Tell us a little bit about this tour.
Yeah, we've been on the road for about 3 weeks now. It's going really pretty awesome. We're just doing our regular punk hardcore set every night, and then Greg Bennick from Trial is doing spoken word, and a lot of people think that's kind of weird that, you know, guys like talking at punk rock shows, but it's going over really well. Like, we get rowdy and the kids have their fun to the music, and then he comes up and does his talking, and the two have gone together really well. Yeah.
I think his name is Chris Walter, also did that last year. He sort of did a whole run alongside of a punk rock show, and he did some spoken word at the end, and it was always at the end, but it was worth it to stay around.
Yeah.
It's really important for, I believe, youth to see something like that. What do you think, with him on this tour, with you guys playing it, how has the reception been with that so far with the kids?
It's been really well. Obviously, for the people that come out to just see a show, they're getting a little something extra from somebody with a lot of knowledge, with a lot of inspiring, cool things to say. But for the people who are coming out to see spoken word that might not necessarily want to see a hardcore show or see a bunch of rowdy punk bands, I think we're giving them a good representation of what's out there right now, what's going on, and, you know, what we're bringing out of Portland and our sound.
How did you get on board for this unique tour with the other bands as well?
Oh, right. So the first leg of the tour, we actually were out with another band called Focus Minds, or a straight-edge band from Milwaukee.
They're not on this leg of it.
No, we did through, like, the West Coast and some of the South in the U.S. with them. Basically, we were all just in Seattle at the same time for Rainfest, a big hardcore festival they did. This year, the headliners were Comeback Kid, 100 Demons, and Bouncing Souls. And that was really big. So we'd all kind of just converged on to Seattle for that festival, and all the booking agents for each artist say, hey, you know, let's get the guys out together and put a cool package like this together. And it was great through the States. It was really good all the way up to Wisconsin. We left Focus Minds behind there and then just crossed into Winnipeg and have been having an awesome time in Canada. Canada's been absolutely the icing on the cake that is this tour, for sure.
That's amazing. Bands talk a lot about how they love being on the road. How do you guys take it, being on tour? What keeps you guys sane?
What keeps us sane?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long run, this one.
It really is. Yeah. Constant reassurance. Always saying, we're all that we have. Hey, guys, don't bite his head off. We're all we have right now. And, you know, as much sarcasm and lewd humor as we can find, to where it's entirely over the top, that no one could ever, you know, lose steam or get overworked with being on the road. We're actually not out as much as we know that we could be, or that we've planned to be. You know, this is a month-long tour, and that gets lengthy. But at the same time, I think we've got a lot more steam in us. I think despite it being hard from time to time, we definitely have the ability to go a lot further. Yeah.
Awesome. Could you tell us a little bit about one of the more memorable shows you've done on this tour so far? One of the ones that sticks out in your mind, whether it be in Canada or the States?
Sure, yeah. There was a record store in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that for the first time opened their doors to doing a show. I can't remember the name of it now. I'll get that to you if it's important for the interview. But they just never done anything like it. And they were like, okay, let's get a show going. Let's have bands play. And we showed up. We didn't know what to expect, because Tulsa is a smaller city, an hour outside of Oklahoma City. It's just, we didn't expect anything.
Yeah.
And we showed up, ton of kids. It was packed. The bands that were playing, like, sounded all like happening, good contemporary hardcore punk bands, and it was just a great night. The covers that we do a Bad Brains cover and a Minor Threat cover and stuff, they went over like crazy, and there was even some kids who knew a lot of our songs, which we would never have expected, because we'd never played Oklahoma. It just, out of the ups and downs of a tour, it was one of the ones that just shot right up to the top of the list. Like, hey, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a great night, because we came in expecting nothing and got handed the world.
Do you think that store would get other bands in to do the same thing after the good reception that they saw with you guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Positive feedback?
Yeah, the feedback from us was certainly positive, and they're clearly have a strong little scene there in Tulsa that doesn't get nurtured or nourished as much as it should. So
yeah.
I think it'll probably grow quite a bit. Bands like us, and we're obviously going to tell other people, we'll be stopping back through on our next trip.
Yeah.
If we go through Oklahoma again, I'd love to stop with guys.
Three Goggles. I'm crazy, I think you're right. Just fight the way of love. Never fight me enough. I tell you everything, and you call me anything. That's how you really feel. Presented for giving a shit. And for nothing, enough to blame. And all I wanted was to miss it. Never
tell us a little bit about your latest material and how does it differ from your previous material?
Yeah, that's a good question.
There's a few more.
from the stuff that we released near the end of last year, our full length Where I Lie that I think you guys have played on the show.
Yeah.
That was, to me, it was a lot more concise and to the point. Whereas our first demo, our early stuff, we were kind of figuring out what kind of band we wanted to be, but we all had these different hardcore influences and how we were going to really wrap it up. And you can hear on the first demo that, well, this song kind of sounds more like one guy's idea for a hardcore song, and this one sounds like the other guy's. By the time we had gotten the full length together in those 12 songs, they all just fit. The pieces fell together really easily, lyrically and musically. And it's got a lot of cool influence from bands that are certainly really popular, but maybe also didn't get as much recognition. I mean, you can hear stuff like Comeback Kid and Suicide File and stuff like that. But then I think we also have influences by bands like Go It Alone and the West Coast stuff, Killing the Dream, things like that, that people don't necessarily hear right away, whether because they're just not as familiar with that material or we're doing a good job of making it sound like us instead of we're just ripping off bands that we love. But yeah, certainly really proud of that record. Still touring on it. We'll probably be able to for a few more months.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you.
Recommend checking it out.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And then the new material that we're working on now is going to go on, I think, a 4 or 5 song EP that we'll also do on Animal Style Records.
Have you gotten all of that written already? Ready to go?
Musically, it's written and ready. Just throw the lyrics together and record it as soon as we get home in July.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you credit Animal Style Records with a lot of success that you guys have been doing on these tours and things like that and promotion of your material?
Absolutely. The label owner, Matt, has taken
awesome
care of us. Yeah, and his roster is amazing. So the guy knows what he's doing. And for a smaller band of guys like us playing, you know, the kind of stuff we do, he's made sure that the right people hear it.
Yeah.
And that we're getting to do a lot of the cool things that bands from this genre don't necessarily always get to do.
Right.
Like Fest in
Gainesville?
In Gainesville, Florida, right. We're going to be doing
that. You're playing again this year?
For the third year in a row.
Yeah.
And that's in some part to Matt and Animal Style. He's done a great job.
Awesome. What is your favorite song on your new album, To Play Live? Does it change up every now and then?
It changes every now and then because the set will change every now and then. We'll rotate songs in and out. So for this leg of the tour, we've been closing with kind of the opening track. There's an intro track and then there's the opening song, Knife Club. And we've been closing with that. And that one, even if I'm dog tired and running out of breath throughout the set, I'm able to find my energy to carry that one home. That's a really great song. But then on nights when we're changing it up a bit, I like to do, what is the name escaping me? Correspondence.
Okay.
It's kind of the slower, more mid-tempo jam that I really like. It's one of our longer ones, but it's really good and really fun.
You guys have a new song. You guys do covers, but you have a cover of I'm on Fire by Bruce Springsteen, and it's pretty fucking amazing. I must say it's one of my favorite covers that I've heard of that song ever. What inspired you to remake it the way that you did?
First off, thank you.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
No, it's awesome. I definitely recommend getting it. How do you get it?
You go to our Bandcamp, youngturks.bandcamp.com. You can just listen to it all day long on there, or if you want to pay 99 cents for it. The dollar that you donate goes to an animal sanctuary that we...
Acres Farm Sanctuary in Silverton, Oregon, right?
Exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where it goes.
Did my homework.
And if you guys want to play it on the show, please do.
Yes, absolutely, we will.
Got a bad desire. Ooh, I'm on fire. Tell me now, baby, is he good to you? Can he do to you the things that I do? Oh no, I can take you higher. Ooh, I'm on fire. Ooh, I'm on fire. Sometimes it's like someone took a knife, baby, edgy and dull, and cut a 6-inch valley through the middle of my skull. At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head, and only you, you cool my desire. Ooh, I'm on fire.
Yeah, we're donating all that money to an animal sanctuary because as an all-vegan band who cares a lot about animal rights, we just thought, what can we do to give back? Aside from at every show saying stuff like, hey, consider vegetarian, and these things, you can always do more. And so we thought we'd take a popular song that we all love that would also showcase that we're more musically eclectic than just banging on the drums and distorted loud guitars and screaming, that, hey, Jason and I love melody and making beautiful music, so why not take from the best and take an already great Bruce Springsteen song and just put our little twist on it and give it out to the world.
It's nice hearing something like that coming from like a hardcore band doing something a lot more mellow and just something on the side, something for people to enjoy, and I think that's important to sort of try something a little different, especially something that you love to hear yourself in.
Sure.
You know.
The stuff for my family who otherwise don't get hardcore and wouldn't understand this loud punk rock, they go, oh yeah, I heard Matt's little acoustic Bruce Springsteen cover, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
And then we have something to be proud of to our families who are otherwise like, what do they do in that van 3 months a year?
Yeah. Wow.
People want to go listen to that loud music?
Being in a band who is straight edge, what issues are particular priorities for you?
Three-fifths straight edge.
Yeah.
Two of our guys aren't.
Okay.
Just a vegan band of some guys who happen to be straight edge. But what was the question?
What issues are particular priorities for the band?
Oh, got it. Like a lot of bands from our genre, that we take a pretty hard line stance against racism, sexism, homophobia. We've got band members with relatives and loved ones who are gay or not Caucasian that have seen some of the uglier things this world can hand out, and as a band we just find that stuff absolutely unacceptable. And so animal rights and the human rights, especially in terms of sexism and homophobia, people wanna say that it means this or it means that. At the end of the day, love is love, and everyone should have the same right to love.
That's great. How did you guys address, how did you develop your passion for addressing all these particular issues and the sensitivity towards them? Did you all just sort of, when you came together as a band, is that sort of how you knew each other and started making music as well as having these situations that are important to you?
Yeah, certainly in part to that. You like-minded people tend to find each other and find the same values and bond on them, and we certainly did. I would say for the most part all our viewpoints were along the same track before we even started getting together and making all the music and stuff. But once we did, like so many bands, you just feel like, well, we're in front of these people, we're on this stage, we have this platform. I don't want to be giving them music without conviction, things without meaning. Too many bands get up and just drone on and on in some high-pitched tone with noodly guitar going on in the background, and people think that's art. And I think we owe so much more to the audience and to the world than to just shit out... Oh, can I cuss?
No, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
Say whatever you like.
To just shit out nonsense music that doesn't mean anything or doesn't have anything personal to say, even if it's not an issue. Certainly not every song on our album is about an issue.
Right.
In fact, maybe only a small handful is. And the rest is about personal struggle and things like that. But if you don't take your duty to stand up for the things that you believe in, especially as an artist, then you're doing yourself a disservice as well as a disservice to the people who listen to you and give you their ears.
Plastic! Yeah, plastic! My face! Into the face!
describe a Young Turks live show?
A lot of chaos. A lot of just me checking around for everybody with a thumbs up, saying, hey, are you good? Are you ready? You're ready? Okay. Once the thumbs up has been given by everybody, we just kick it off. Five songs might go by before we even take a rest, mm-hmm. take a break, get a drink of water, anything. And then by that, we're almost halfway done. You know, whether there's two people or 20 people or 200 people, always a reason to play your best and perform your heart out. So I don't ever like to just stand still. Even if it's only a small handful of people that we're playing in front of, I want to be very active, moving across the stage and doing all my activities, all my cardio.
And coming from the other side of the stage, could you tell us a little bit about one of the more memorable shows that you've seen as a fan that inspires you to do what you do?
Yeah, that's really good. Years and years back, there was a Halloween show in Portland, and it was Citizen Fish and Leftover Crack. Leftover Crack I'd listened to a lot. I thought that whole Choking Victim, Hellcat style of stuff was pretty cool as a kid. I still listen to it now for musical value, but I don't subscribe to it in the same way. But I was having a lot of fun at the show. I was getting really excited for Leftover Crack to come up and do their, like, we're a punk band who plays black metal kind of thing, and there's ska, and it was just so crazy. But the Citizen Fish, you know, the guy from Subhumans, I'd never really listened to a lot of. And they came out there, and their stuff was just super fun and entertaining. And then he would talk between his songs, and he just sounded smart. There's only a couple particular issues that he brought up that I remember to this day. But the one about being vegetarian, about animal rights, and your human right to be healthy and not eating meat, playing a big part in that, stuck out to me as a kid who was already, you know, dabbling in veganism at that point. It's the fact that there was this old punk rocker guy just playing in this fun band that between his songs says, hey, think about what you're putting in your body. If you're worried about vitamins, take a vitamin, but you're not going to need it. Yeah, that was just a really great memory from back then. And then Leftover Crack came and did their thing, and they put on their big, big live show, and that was fun too. But definitely hearing from older people from the scene who had already been able to make big impressions on people made yet another impression on me.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Yeah.
Summer and fall plans for the rest of the year, 2013, after your tour through here is finished?
Yep, we're working on another tour for the fall once the new EP is released, as well as a Fest 12 in Gainesville, Florida, for No Idea. Beyond that, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going to be just we, you know, fly out to Florida and tour the East Coast, or if we get to go do something crazy like Japan or Europe,
yeah.
Or if we just come back up to Canada again, which would be great too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But something in the fall for sure.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you this evening, Matt. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you. You can find Young Turks on youngturks.bandcamp.com as well as facebook.com/youngturkshc and youngheartsbefreetonight.com.
Wrapping up the show with Let Me Sink, Where I'd Die from Young Turks. And we'll be back soon with Volume 156 featuring a talk with Chuck Reagan. We'll catch you then.
Just fine. Then what the fuck should I